Hello and welcome back to Spinalcast. I'm your host, David Stevens, and joining us today is Vicki Garrison. Vicki is president of the Paralyzed Veterans of America Minnesota chapter and also a veteran of the United States Air Force. Vicki, thanks so much for joining us today.
I sure appreciate the invitation, David.
Absolutely.
Great to be here.
So in today's episode, I think for all of us here at Spinalcast, we'd like to learn a little bit more about you and kind of your experiences and stories, as well as this incredible piece of technology that, exoskeleton device that you've been using to navigate your world. And if that sounds all right to you, I just think we'll jump into questions.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Great. So first and foremost, thank you for your service, being a veteran. What inspired you to join the U.S. Air Force in the first place?
Multitude of things. I'm easily bored.
Okay.
So I had already done a lot of things up till that. I joined in a little late. I was almost 25. And so I just wanted a new adventure, I guess. And the other thing is that I did come from a family with many military service people who had served over the years. And that includes both here, and then I also have German heritage, so that would be a lot of the German in World War II. So looking back into our books, I think we have in the hundreds, all the way back to the American, to the Revolutionary War. So we have a lot of history there. So
yeah.
I thought I would just join in and put my name in.
Awesome. And, from my notes, I also have that you received the John L. Is it Levito Award?
Levito. Levito Award.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what that all entails?
Yep, that was it's basically the highest award that a non-commissioned officer can receive in training. So when you go through, you're in the Air Force, you're an airman and at different levels, and then a senior airman. And then you get promoted to sergeant, which is when I got out, that was the rank I was, but you go to a course to learn leadership skills. Mm-hmm. And so every class has that top person.
Top rank,
and,
basically.
Right. And so that's the award that I received for that. So, which was a very nice honor.
Wonderful. I understand that your current medical situation is cervical stenosis and is it myelopathy diagnosis?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how did that kind of come about? And is that part of what ended your career in the U.S. Air Force? How did that all play out?
Actually, the other way around. It actually began in the U.S. Air Force, unbeknownst to us. Mm. I have a very, very small, no extra space in my cervical canal. So what that means is that if there's any degeneration that occurs, which happens with all of us over time, there's no space for any of that to go. And so, except into the spinal cord. Now, at that time, I went in 86, and even now we weren't doing MRIs. So we had no idea that my spine was, I had that issue. So after I got in and I worked in avionics on the AWACS planes. And so everything in the cockpit, very small, lots of bending, lots of stooping. Mm-hmm. That degeneration started, and I actually started having a lot of neck pain there, which then progressed when I got out. I got out because I wanted to go into the medical field. And so I got out, and it actually didn't happen completely manifest until about 10 to 12 years later.
Wow.
But during the course of that time, it was mystery thing after mystery thing.
Yeah.
So all these very odd symptoms, even all the way down to pain in the left side, which of course people think was heart. There were headaches, there were neck pains, but they all didn't seem to have a relationship until one day I got up and went down. Mm. And so then when I went down, then I think people were, oh, wow, there's something serious here. And I had the MRI. And at that point, the C5, C6 was at least halfway compressed.
Okay.
And had been somewhat compressed for some time. And the reason we know that is, one, the symptoms, but also what I lost.
Okay.
When that all happened.
Yeah.
It wasn't just let's repair it and go back to normal.
Right.
There was some permanent damage.
Had they caught it earlier on, do you think it would be repairable?
Potentially. It usually is. You talk about people that rupture a disc and And I tell people that, and they think, oh my gosh, I have a disc that's bulging. I'm going to be like you. And that's not the norm.
Right.
That is definitely the abnormal. So it's probably the longevity of the compression on the spinal cord that caused the long-term damage.
Okay. And as far as you mentioned, you know, there being pain involved with kind of the initial diagnosis and figuring out what was going on. But, you know, in your day-to-day life today, do you still deal with pain?
I do. Actually, most of since this damage occurred, I've had body pain. It's gotten a little worse. You can put names to it, but I think, you know, a lot of people, fibromyalgia or, you know, just whatever. But I think the inherent injury that you have to your spine disrupts everything and manifests a lot of times with weird pain, which would be like body aches. And I have neuropathic pain, tingles, numbness. The normal thing that most people have when they have a spinal cord injury, they experience those things.
Got it.
It's down. It's definitely down. And I've worked really hard at just finding good options rather than drugs.
Yeah.
To deal with that.
And do you think some of your increased movement using devices like this and stuff has helped with
absolutely.
That pain?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, even prior to having this device, I had other options for helping to control pain. And one of them was an FES bike that the VA got for me. So I would get on that, and that stimulation, I think, would just reset the nerves, and it just brought the pain level down at least a notch or two.
Awesome. So clearly, this diagnosis has been pretty, heavily affected your life as you've moved forward. But it sounds like a lot of kind of your history and background prepared you to combat this unfortunate circumstance. And I'd be interested to hear you kind of talk about, you know, what it is about your background that you think has helped you have such a positive outlook and really, you know, make the most of a not so great situation.
Yep. Well, I have to say, first and foremost, I'm God. I mean, I think that's where my joy comes from. So I have a very strong faith. I know that I'm not alone as I go through this journey. And I knew that from day one when I was in the hospital and they wanted me to go through, you know, you have to see the psychologist. And I saw the psychologist. And then, you know, he basically said I was in denial because I was happy. I was joyful. Mm. And it isn't because my view and it you know, now knowing where that view comes from, my view is that my happiness is not based on my circumstances. They're going to change all the time. And so if we base our happiness on what's going on at that very moment, it's a rocky road. So I can find joy in anything. And whether I'm in a device that takes me walking or whether I'm in a chair and I'm rolling or whether I'm in bed because I'm having another setback and I'm doing rehab, I still have joy in my life. So that's the number one thing. I think the other thing is that I was blessed with a very, some might say, stubborn attitude as a child. The worst or best thing that could be said to me was that you can't do that or you know, that can't be done, because those two statements just inherently put a drive in me to figure out a way to do it. I did have a doctor tell me one time, you can't walk again.
Yeah.
And initially there was a little
right
bit of a-
And you walked right past his office last week? Is that what you're saying?
I feel like it. No, there's that initial like, you know, what?
Yeah.
But over the years, I've just learned to just say, you don't think so, huh?
Right.
We'll see. So I think that, and then I have a great family. I think the discipline that the military teaches is another thing. You learn to accept the things that you can't change and maybe find ways that you can do things differently. You also learn to put up with a little bit more. You know, you just have to have that discipline that this is the way it is and this is what I have to do right now.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's going to be that way forever. It may not. And so that was a very big thing. And then, you know, my family growing up and then my family, my family now, my children and my husband, this is not a solitude or a solitary journey.
Yeah.
This is a journey that you bring your family along. And so they've been through everything that I've been through. And without them, the journey would have been a lot harder and a lot less fun.
Yeah. Well, I think it's huge that you have such a great support system and have had such a great support system the whole time. Actually, mentioning your kids, were your kids before or after kind of the diagnosis? Mm-hmm. When did that take place?
I had four. We have a blended family, and so there's six altogether. My husband had two. I had two and committed to the marriage, and then we had two together.
Wow.
So we had four in the home full time, and I was homeschooling them at the time when we got the diagnosis. My youngest was six, and the oldest was 14. Mm-hmm. And so the two younger ones, in retrospect, I don't know that I realized this then, I came home and I'm like, I'm same old me. I'm happy. I'm doing the funny things and they're looking at me and I'm saying, it's still me, guys. You know, I'm still mom. I can still ground you. I can still teach you. I can do all those things. I just have to do it from a chair. And so they very, at age six and eight, they were quick to take their emotion and their view on the whole circumstance from me. I think they still did at that age. The two older ones, I think, struggled a little bit more.
Yeah.
They were 14 and 12. And so, there's, you know, that it was a lot tougher on them, I think.
Yeah.
But they all jumped in. I made sure that at least every one of them had to take at least a few hours sitting in my chair while I sat on the couch, and they couldn't get up from the chair. They had to navigate the whole house and the toys that were left on the floor and the socks and all that. They had to navigate their way through that. And so I think that gave them some insight.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like that thought of, like, you have to wear these shoes for a minute before you can, you know, just assume you understand.
Yeah.
So.
But they were a big help, and they, you know, I just always think it's good to find good from anything. And so, you know, when I see that circumstance, my children grew up with me in a wheelchair and seeing all the struggles that we went through, and they have so much more compassion and understanding and foresight now when they run into somebody that has the same situation. So,
yeah.
You know, I see a good coming out of it.
Absolutely. I like that outlook. I'm a very glass half full type of person myself, so I quite appreciate that. And two, I think you're totally right. Sometimes just even having opened a gate to a world that these younger people don't necessarily know is huge. This whole engagement is a very good example. When I was an infant, I got to know the Morton family, and I got to know Peter Morton as I've grown up, and being close to someone and seeing a lot of different people who are dealing with this, kind of situation has opened my eyes completely to, I don't judge or assume anything when I see someone in a wheelchair. I basically, you know, well, first I think, man, they could be a guest on our podcast, but then I think about, you know, well, what's their story? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's a great thing to have such a positive outlook on things. So, speaking of a positive outlook and good things, let's talk about this device here. So, it's called, from my notes, it looks like it's the Exo Indigo.
Exo Indigo Personal. And
okay.
That's E-K-S-O, Exo. Yeah,
fancy spelling on the Exo.
Right,
that's why
right.
I want to make sure I pronounced it correctly.
This device is... Exo is a company that has many rehab devices that are used in a gym. Our veterans SEI center up there, we have a couple up there, and you will see the inpatients. They'll get them up right away and moving. So they're really so valuable. This particular device can go into the home and in the community, which makes it unique. There are a couple of other companies out there that have similar ones. I'm very partial to this one. Because it has a lot of customizable things, which we can talk about later. But this device basically will walk for you. You have to be able to balance. So you have to have enough upper extremity to hang on to a walking device such as a crutch, a platform walker, a regular walker, or in my case, I've advanced to canes. It's not self-balancing.
Okay.
But it does self-propel. And so for even a complete person, there are people with complete injuries, meaning they have no ability to make motion at all. They can get in this device and walk.
So without the device, are you able to make any motion?
I am. I'm an incomplete. Okay. And so I think, you know, part of that, I think, contributes to my huge success with this and how life-changing it has been for me. And I recognize that this device is incredible, but it's going to be incredibly different for every person.
Got it.
And so yeah. the what is incredible for one who hasn't been able to move at all and now can walk, mm-hmm. It's going to look a little bit different from me, who I'm an incomplete, and I've been able to move. I've been able to strengthen the last couple of years, not really knowing why. I didn't have my eyes set on this 2 years ago.
Right.
But I came out of another little setback and I just said, no, I'm going to really get my strength back now. So I just did little things at home.
Yeah.
You know, strengthening exercises, that kind of thing, which prepared me for this. But so what I can get out of it is maybe a little bit more, but in the whole grand scheme of things, it's all relative to what your goals are and what is satisfying to you in life.
Totally. And I think from our past interviews, it's really, you know, any level of improvement is improvement nonetheless. So, you know, sometimes, even though it might not be as much to one person as it is to another person, it could have that same value or, you know, return the same feeling that
same life changing feeling.
Exactly. Absolutely. Like you know, I can only imagine that first time you stand, having sat for years, mm-hmm. it's just different. Like I'm going to stand at the kitchen sink and I'm going to do dishes tonight.
Yeah.
Like that's a huge deal for people. So, I think that's awesome. So how exactly does the device kind of like work, mm-hmm. Per se?
Okay, well, I won't give the science part of it, mainly because I don't know all of it. Okay. The engineering on this thing is very complex. I do know... I'm
amazed with how kind of low profile it is. Mm-hmm. I would imagine something of this magnitude would have to be so much thicker. So that is very impressive.
Yeah, and some of the gym versions, you'll have a different back style and it'll be more a backpack.
Okay.
This one is definitely less cumbersome. And I think they're working to even... eventually they'll make these so small that you will barely even see them, but still be exoskeletons, I hope. So it there's five pieces to this device. And so there's the hip.
Okay.
And then there's two thigh pieces and two AFO, the ankle foot orthotics. And inside, and I won't take it off now because it's very time consuming, but the foot has the piece or the foot part on the AFO goes in the shoe.
Okay.
Underneath the sole. And I actually have prosthetic. These shoes were specially made to, although anybody can buy these shoes,
but right.
They were custom made to work for me with this device, which I have to thank the VA for, because they're the ones right away. The therapist at Minneapolis VA Spinal Cord Injury and Disorder Unit, they're just incredible. I mean, they just don't stop until everything is all good. And
right
away,
did you get to pick color at least?
I did.
Nice.
I have a white and a black. So, yeah. But they identified early on. We hadn't even gotten to the stage yet where I was going to take it home for a trial. And they identified early on that I would need shoes. So they got that ball, you know, rolling on it.
Fantastic.
And basically you strap in and I can do this in less than 5 minutes.
Wow.
I can go from sitting to standing.
And it looks like it's kind of driven by these almost ratcheting straps. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Oh, yeah. They're boas is what they are.
Okay. I think I've seen those on other
dog hair on there. So, but they actually make it, what makes it really easy for somebody who has, because, you know, I'm a cervical. So technically I'm a quad, but if you look at my hands, I don't look like one because I'm, you know, I have, and I always think that when I was born and growing up, I had exquisite fine motor skills. Like I could have been a surgeon. That's how fine they were.
Wow.
And so when I lost,
compared
to the normal person, I could tell I lost function in my hands, but compared to the normal person, it didn't look quite as bad, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I do still run into the locked finger syndrome, you know, where they'll lock up. So for people with hand issues, you know, these are able to be done even without involving your fingers because you push it in and you turn. And so you can even use your hands to turn them.
That's very cool.
Adaptive.
About it, mm-hmm. which is cool. Because, I mean, it's amazing to me because I would think you're designing something like this. thinking to every single detail to that level is impressive. Instead of like, well, you need to have an assistant who can attach this to you.
Right, right.
We haven't gotten around to how are you going to put it on yourself? Yeah. So say you do take it off. Does it sit in your chair, leave it in your chair? Do you plug it in on the wall? How does that work?
Yeah, well, it does. There is a charging port. I can charge it in a variety of ways. The battery will last, they say, up to 4 hours. Of course, it depends on how much you're walking and what you're doing. If you're just sitting in it and it's on, it may not, it may last a little longer. But so once I figured out how functional this device was for me, I wanted to be in it all the time.
Yeah.
And I actually do. I go to bed. Our bedroom's upstairs. I take the elevator up. I do all of my cares that I can do standing up.
Yep.
And that's when then it comes off. I sit down, I have a chair, and I doff is what the official word is. So I take off the device and then I transfer to my chair and do the rest of what I need to do for my chair. And I do the reverse in the morning. So I get up, I do what I need to do for my chair, and then I get in this device. So during the day, I do keep a charger near. I work at the computer a lot right now, mm-hmm. in between getting up and walking. But so I'll keep a charger near, and then I do need to charge it in order to keep it functioning all day. And I think in future, eventually they'll have it where, I don't know, battery packs or it'll be a longer, it'll hold a longer charge.
Right. Or you could be able to swap batteries, basically, things like that.
Right. So, but I can take the hip off and just charge it. So if I just wanted to take the hip and sit it someplace else.
Then you don't have to completely get out of the thing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And have you seen, first of all, how long have you, had this device and this machine for?
Yep. December 5th of just this past December is when it came home. And I affectionally dubbed him Stanley. It's Stanley, Stanley Strider.
I love it.
But I started the official trial. The VA requires us to do I want to say 3 months, but I don't think it's that long. Where what they want is they want people to show use. So I think it's like 3 times a week for 30 minutes is the minimum that they want to see used.
Okay.
Which is effective. That's good exercise. It gets somebody up. And and so I had that, I don't know, I think it was probably within 3 weeks. I probably had the entire period of trial met because I couldn't get enough of walking. And I would walk, and as I'm walking, I'm blessed with a big house, so I'd make this big circle around my house, and I would think, am I ever going to get tired of walking? And I would just go, nah, never.
Yeah, never. I suppose it's like one of the distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah,
the moment you couldn't do it, it's like now as soon as I get it back, I'm never letting go of that.
Yeah, it's like I got 20 years to make up for. So
yeah, no. Well, and for everybody who is watching this episode versus listening to the podcast, we're gonna make sure to input some video of you actually walking around on the device. And just before we started filming, you actually were here in studio walking around a bit. And, it led me to kind of wonder, have you had mishaps in which the device didn't react the way you intended it to, or things that frightened you a little bit, or has it been really smooth sailing since the beginning?
The frightened me a little bit, I wouldn't say no. I do feel, as much as you can trust a machine, I trust this one.
Yeah.
And then I will also add on that I'm an extremely cautious and common sense logical person. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go out there and do something reckless because
you're not jumping.
Maybe if
your
I
roof.
Try something new and I do, I use, you have to have a companion with you for this device.
Okay.
So they have to be able to hear you and react to you. My husband is my companion and we've actually gotten our whole family trained now. So all my kids, we can go out to dinner or whatever and lunch and I can use the device, but you have to have them close enough. And so if I'm going to do something a little new, go down on a setting to see if I maybe don't need quite as much assist.
Yeah.
I always have Mark right there with me. So that's just good common sense. I have big self-preservation instincts.
Right. Well, and before, as you were kind of giving us a quick demo, it also looks like it's primarily, you know, the settings and things are driven by a mobile app. Mm-hmm. You said they provided you with a device to kind of run the device.
Yeah,
But have you felt like that tool is sufficient to give you all the different functionalities and changes that you are looking for? Or are you kind of assisting them and giving feedback of like, hey, you really should add in another, you know, I want to be able to tilt my ankle maybe, or, you know, how does that kind of work?
Well, I have to say that it's rare that I don't give feedback on something. So, yes, I've already, you know, I have my list because that is one of the things that Exo ask right away is, you know, what do you think? What would you like to see? And so, you know, I just said, I've got my list going. So I have a list going, and a lot of the things they probably have already thought about and are working on, you know, a smaller profile in the back for the battery, or just additional features. They actually, this device they actually bought, or I'll say bought, they acquired, it was a Parker Hannifin device, and they acquired it from them in 2022. So it's actually only been with Exo, even though Exo has many of their own devices, this particular one's only been with them since 2022. So less than 2 years, a year and a few months.
Yeah.
And I do know that they have a big focus on, you know, R&D.
Okay.
Developing this particular product. It just recently, last fall, achieved CMS approval. It has a code now, so Medicare, Medicaid can pay, which I'm assuming, I don't know that much about it, but that may also, I would think, play into private insurances, because a lot of times they follow suit with what CMS is doing.
And CMS is, I'm sorry.
I don't know what CMS stands for. Okay, I'm sorry,
okay.
But
no, that's
I know
fine.
They determine the, is it Center for Medicare Services, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. But they're the ones that determine if it's covered by Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay.
So up till now, it's been private purchases, or the VA, because they've been getting these for veterans that qualify and meet the standards.
I imagine it's an expensive device.
Yes,
if you were to just kind of out of pocket purchase.
I don't even know the exact price.
Yeah.
But that whole change was huge, because now now I can go out and I can just tell everybody, and I don't have to say, are you a veteran?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I can say, you know, if you qualify, and there's certain things you have to meet, you know, you don't want to have a huge bone density issue, you know, a severe case of osteoporosis. They don't want you standing up and breaking all your bones.
Right.
And like I mentioned earlier, you have to have that enough upper extremity and ability to balance. Because it is an expensive device, and they're not going to just buy it if it's not going to be able to use, or if it's going to do harm.
Right.
So, yeah.
Have you gotten any inclination from either the team at Echo or Eco?
Exo.
The EK has me really screwed up. Have you gotten any indication from them, or you know, your friends at the VA, as to how many of these are in use right now?
I don't have a total number, but I can give you a smaller number.
Yeah.
In the Minneapolis area, which covers a 6-state area, I was the fourth veteran to receive one, and first woman veteran.
Awesome.
So so that, you know, if you take 6 states that a VA center, and I think there's 20 something centers. So if you take that and you manifest it out, you can see. Now they do also have, Exo has, you know, they have overseas
operations.
Clients.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but I don't think there's, you know, there's not tons of the personal devices out there.
Right.
A lot in rehab, and a lot of people will go to a rehab center to work out.
Yeah. And then I guess another question being, and I just thought of this now, does the device have to be built to your specifications, or does it change size? So given, let's say I had to use it, or use it in a recovery sense, or at a physical therapy office, can it be resized to fit anyone, or is it
specs? Good question. So it doesn't, it's not built to specs. However, each of these pieces come in, I believe it's three different sizes. So I'm in the small version of all of this hardware.
Got it.
And then when on top of that, so you find one where you're in the general category. And then on top of that, there's adjustments. These are all inside this strap here is all Velcro adjusted. And so I could make this longer, shorter, additionally tightening it up then to where it would fit me. There's yep. also spacing. So you get a whole kit. You get this big suitcase that has this, it's packed into a suitcase about that big, which I think is phenomenal.
That's that they amazing. Can do that.
And,
yeah.
And it's on wheels. So they made transport easy. And in that, what one of the things they send you is a kit for resizing. So if you needed additional padding somewhere to make it, you know, fit, you went a little larger on the one you know, adjusting the straps. So it's very customizable.
So how long would you say that it took you to kind of get comfortable walking in the device or with the device? Did you have to start with, you know, just standing mm-hmm. once a day and then moving on from that? And, you know, how long was that process of getting comfortable?
That's actually a good question. Definitely not the first few sessions. And you know, we did video to kind of capture everything. I wish we would have gotten every session, but obviously what you're doing is more important than catching video. But it probably was somewhere along the third to fifth session when I was placed in that advanced gait mode, which is just a more comfortable, natural way to walk. And
okay.
And many people can utilize that mode. Some can't, you know, so you have to have the ability to propel that mode with your hips a little bit more. So you have to have a little bit of ability to do that. Once I got into that, I started feeling like, okay, this is a little faster and it's a little more normal to
right.
what I remember walking should feel like. Because of course, keep in mind, I hadn't felt it for 20 years, what
right.
it should feel like. And then, yeah, from there it went pretty quickly. So once I got that comfort level, then it went quickly. And by the time I got it home on December 5th, that was about my 12th session, I think. I went through about 12 sessions. I was just, as a matter of fact, my husband was still shadowing me. And
yeah.
what that means is that your companion, when you first start and you're getting trained on this device, they need to be like right there. And it's a good comfort when you're learning it because
yeah.
you don't want to topple over backwards
yeah,
with
like
this
a,
thing on.
Like a spotter at
yeah,
the gym.
Yeah. And yeah. so their hands are there, you know, and we got it home on December 5th. It was very shortly after that, you know, I already start feeling that. What are you doing? You know, why are you there?
Yeah.
And it was shortly after that that then he started distancing a little bit farther each time. And it's not just me. It has to be him too. It has to be a comfort level on both our parts because this is not something just to take lightly and not be cautious for. So he would just stretch his distance a little bit more and more. And then pretty soon I don't have any qualms at all about getting up unless, like I said, I've made a change.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I think is interesting is as you arrived today, you brought your service dog with you, Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful little man there. I guess my question is, I would assume you're not supposed to walk with Chase attached or nearby, mm-hmm. or how does that play into it?
That's interesting because nobody's told me not to, but common sense does say that that would be a huge thing. So I don't like to say never, and I don't like to say always unless
yeah.
I'm talking about God, but I don't see myself walking with Chase in a motor mode. In other words, I have the motors actually propelling me.
Yeah.
I did do, and I have a video on my channel on it. I did when I'm tooling around, I'm not in that motor mode. I'm in what they call a pre-gait mode to be able to do your daily living things,
okay,
washing
yeah.
dishes or teeth brushing, setting the table, whatever. So when I'm in that mode, I did a video the other day where we were walking and I had his leash. Now, again, I was one cane and so that, but I'm feeling a little weird like holding a leash because I just like my hand free. So I actually have a little magnetic bracelet. He has a little magnetic head collar and I just attached a lead from the two magnets so he could break away and it wouldn't bother me.
Oh, nice.
And so we walked and he did really well.
Everything I've met today, of course he did well. He's a very good boy. So
yeah, I could see us walking at the VA that way.
Yeah.
And even, you know, here I say I don't see myself, but potentially even in that walk mode, that motor walk mode.
Yeah.
As long as I have something that he can break away.
Yeah. And I think for the viewers at home who, you know, one, they should, we'll make sure that there are links in the description to go view videos on your channel. We'll splice some video in here. But I think they're probably interested in, you know, how loud is this when it's being used? Mm-hmm. I was amazed with how quiet it is.
Yep.
Was Chase scared of it at first? How has the sound, have you gotten super used to it?
Yeah.
Or does it bother you?
I'm used to it definitely completely. My family's probably a little annoyed because when I do my power walking in the house, and of course we'll be outside all the time, I do hear the motors more. So when I want my music on and I don't have headsets on, I crank the stereo in all the rooms and it's probably a little louder than what they like. But I'm pretty used to it now. Chase, I think by the time we got home, had already gotten used to it from the sound that he heard in the gym.
Mm.
It doesn't bother him at all. The cat kind of thought, what are you? You're standing up. Why are you so big? And yeah, everybody's adjusted pretty well to it. So it really isn't that loud. You think about a power chair can,
yeah,
you know, once they've been around and used for a little bit, they can make some noise. And,
yeah, no, you know, like I said, it was remarkable to me, just how quiet it is.
And it could be pretty loud and I would still use it because it's
just that.
It's just that
awesome,
incredible.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I've got one final question for you here. What's next? Like, what is next for Vicky Garrison? You know, I think you have this incredible story, this background of working with the Air Force, doing all of this incredible work, being a voice for people who are, you know, changing the game for those with disability. What's next for you?
I'm uncertain at this stage. No, I really do. I do have a plan. I've been serving with Paralyzed Veterans of America. And I'm here on my own, not as an advocate for PVA. But I do have a lot of respect for that organization, and I'll
Absolutely.
Be involved with them for a long time. I also have a real interest in seeing EXO, the company, continue to thrive, because this is life changing. I said life changing. I've said it so many times in the last year, and I typically reserve that for big things, you know, God, my family, having my kids, you know, just that kind of thing. And when I thought it was life changing, it became life changing on steroids once I discovered how functional this thing is at home. I'm doing things that I honestly, you know, never thought I would do again. I never thought I'd be able to stand up and brush my teeth, or, you know,
right.
Help with the dishes, or I could list it. We'd be here all day. And I discover new things every day. So I have a passion for, I'm not in the limelight person at all. Unless I have something that I'm really passionate about. And I'm very passionate about this because even like you said, if it's a different degree of life changing, that's what this device does. And so I just want everybody out there that hasn't heard about it to hear about it.
Absolutely.
Because maybe that's not the device for them, but maybe it'll get them inspired enough to go find something that will enhance their lives. So
awesome.
That is my goal.
Well, and to the people who are, you know, watching or listening at home, the description will be host to a bunch of different links so you can check out the EXO Indigo and things of that nature. But I think also, as a challenge to everybody who's listening or watching, next time you're like out and just walking around, think of it like when you walk to the mailbox, think about not being able to do that and realize how, you know, impactful technology like this really is. We're very blessed to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Everyone who's watching at home or listening on your favorite podcast platform, please, we urge you to give us a subscription or follow. You know, the thumbs up and likes also improve our viewership, and we really want to, you know, continue to get our message out. So all of that is appreciated. And Vicky, thank you again so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and allowing me to tell my story.
Of course. Thanks, everybody.